Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind.
Now, I think, you know, everything hinges and pins upon
struggle as conducted in this country. If black people wage successful revolutionary struggle in this country, then every black cat in jail. No, he doesn't have to worry about being in prison because he's black. But, you know, my fate is the fate of, you know, every other black person in this country depends upon what we do.
You feel that you, that the law is truly, justice is truly blind? Do you feel that it's a...
No, justice ain't blind. Justice see white folks mighty well. As a matter of fact, justice means just us white folks in this country. For black people, justice is a joke. No such thing as justice in this country for black people. The courts are a tool of oppression. The courts, you know, like help to execute the genocide, the type of genocide that has been practiced against black people in this country for 40 years.
Why is it that there's not much exposure about what you feel, if it is true that justice is not blind, that it does favor one segment of the society? Why is that attacked more by responsible agencies?
That they're responsible means that the, you know, the very statement responsible agents say that they're not going to respond because, you know, like, in terms of the status quo is never attacked by the comfortable people, the people who, you know, profit from it.
Black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Shah Saddam Kweli. And I'm happy to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, it's a privilege, it's a joy, it's an honor, a pleasure to talk to you from this great esteemed radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. And I want to reach out to the radio listening audience. I want to first give thanks for that opening. That was an opening by the mighty warrior who we'll talk about in this broadcast, Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly H-Rap Brown. As you heard him say, his fate is the same as the fate of all black people. It depends on what we do. You got to get out of looking at a particular leader to lead the movement. The leaders are the ones that's on that phone, the ones listening to my voice, the one behind that radio, the ones tuned into this broadcast. We the ones that's going to lead this movement. Ain't just no one man or no woman going to lead this movement. This movement will be led by many men and women who see what the hell is going on and who are not asleep in 2014 and fast awaiting some hope to come up out the sky and do something for you. I want to give thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers that answers to many different names depending upon the language that you speak. Give thanks to our ancestors who are the original people, the mothers and fathers of civilization, all the scientists. I give thanks to all the freedom fighters who came before me and came before you, male and female, to blaze a path for us to continue this struggle. I give a thanks to every Panther regiment, top to bottom, no matter what formation they were a part of. Give thanks to 1989 start in Dallas, Texas on the Aaron Michaels, the new Black Panther Party. Thankful to 1998 to 2001 with the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, new Black Panther Party. Thankful for 2001 to 2013 with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the Attorney General, new Black Panther Party. And give thanks to our present chairman and general on the scene, kicking behind and taking names, General Hashim and Zinga, all the National Central Committee, every soldier, every warrior, if you, whatever you come from, whatever your background is, whatever you're affiliated with black power on this radio broadcast. And I ain't come to play no games. And as y'all know, we don't play no games. And as our general would say, this is the truth hour. Don't expect to hear nothing but the truth. As y'all know, my temperament is hot right now. My temperament is hot right now, more so for myself than you. My temperament is hot right now when I'm watching these bodies drop all across America. These black bodies dropping all across America. Everywhere. Lord declared on black people, black life, not even just the black man, but the black woman as well. Some of you have already forgotten a few weeks ago, a state trooper out in California beating the hell out of our mentally challenged sister, black woman on the side of the road, videotaped. He's beating the hell out of her, and drivers just passing her on by. Brother out of Virginia, Petersburg, Virginia, Devin Thomas, brutalized and beat because he was filming the police in the line of their duty while they were doing their dutiful practice. He films them as according to his right at a reasonable distance, and they beat the hell out of him and arrest him and charge him with all kind of fraudulent charges. Same thing happened in other areas. People either minding their business or exercising their rights as so-called citizens. And the state enforcers, the law enforcement, brutalize and beat down our people all across America. Now, it should be easy to see what Huey P. Newton was talking about 40 years ago when he said, drive them out. It should be easy to see now what Dr. Khalid Muhammad, what Attorney Malik Shabazz, General Hashim and Zinger, what I'm talking about, it should be easy to see now. While we're talking about we have to have defense forces of our own, black militias of our own in self-defense, while we got to patrol our own communities, because the state has unleashed its armed force on black life, and it don't seem like too many in the cultural community or too many in the so-called conscious community or too many in the church community or too many in the mosque community, or too many in the Hebrew community, or too many in black life in general. Don't seem like too many of us know what the hell to do. This ain't no new problem. These pigs, these dogs, these beasts, they are not new problems. So we got to look at what those before us did to handle these dogs. We got to talk to the veterans and those who were there on Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, and talk to those who crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge and those who marched with Martin Luther King Jr., those who marched with Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael. We got to talk to some OGs, some vets in this struggle, and see how they dealt with police brutality, and see how they dealt with police harassment. We got to see how they handle the issues that face our people today, because I'm here to tell you, when you don't deal with a problem in the proper manner, and when you don't handle a problem or a sickness with the proper prescription, it will come up again later to haunt you and be worse than what it was before. And this is not, I repeat, this is not the same police force agency that the Panthers dealt with in 1966. This is not the same police force and agency that the Nation of Islam dealt with in 1965. This is not the same police force that revolutionary organizations handled back in the day. This is a militarized, all-inclusive, big police force imposed by the state on the people. With imperialism in mind, colonialism in mind, domination in mind, ruled by white supremacy. Ain't no way to get around it. So we're going to talk to Father Mukasa Ricks, formerly Willie Ricks Dada. He's coming on. He marched with Martin Luther King Jr. He marched with Kwame Ture. He marched and worked with H. Rap Brown and Mayor Jamil Alameen. He worked with greats as a field organizer in SNCC. Student organizer in SNCC, organizer in Lyons County, Alabama, the original Black Panther Party. You know, them Panthers where Huey and Bobby and them got that Panther from. He was there. He dealt with the fire hoses. He dealt with being called a nigger with the E-R on the end and not the G-A for those who use that. He dealt with harsh times, Jim Crow, our people, in a predicament unlike what's in 2014. There, black people are hating in 2014. There, we've lost our name. Yes, we've lost our language. Yes, we've lost our culture. Yes, we've lost our spiritualities, our original spiritualities. We've lost all of that. But you ain't being Jim Crow. We're dealing with an old problem. This police force, formerly known as the petty rollers, the ones that would go hunt down the slave and keep the slave in line, the overseers, they are called officers. We have to deal with them in 2014. Some of you have punked out. Now you say it's cool. You want to bring the police in the neighborhood. Say we should have more police presence and more police patrol in the neighborhood. Because without the police presence, and without the police patrol, you know you niggas don't know how to act, they say. You want more money for the budget. You want to take and tax the people more so that you can put more staff on the police agency. Well, Eric Garner is the same result that you get when you allow these rogue officers in the black community. When you allow people to police the community who don't live in the community, Eric Garner, Brother Eric Garner is the result of these kinds of things. When you don't have a full handle on those who patrol your community, who patrol your neighborhood, who patrol your men, your women, and your children, and Eric Garner becomes a result. The sister in California becomes a result. The young brother in Virginia becomes a result. You ain't man enough and woman enough to take charge of your pulse and all black nation property in view. And you allow the babies and the people and the families to run crazy on each other. Then these are the results that you get. They are not here to serve or protect you. They, according to their courts and according to their statutes, don't even have to respond to your calls if they deem it necessary. They're not here to protect you. They are here to serve and protect the elites of this country. They are here to make sure that you don't mess up the property. That you and me don't get out of line. That you and me don't get no crazy ideas about getting free, about breaking away from this system of white supremacy. That we don't all of a sudden decide to come together and unite amongst ourselves and carve out some self-determination. That's what they're here for. That's what them tasers are there for. That's what them billy clubs are there for. That's what them guns on the hips and on the legs and in the trunk, that's what that's there for. That's why we say in the new Black Panther Party, self-defense is the only option. You gotta be trained right now, black man and black woman. Put the damn Skittles down. The damn soda pop down. Get into some training mode in 2014. Your life is at stake right now. And just rear naked choke the man out in public. Rear up behind him, allegedly he's selling what they call loosies, loose cigarettes. In New York, which is a vending capital anyway, in a capitalist nation anyway. And these dogs, these pigs, these bastards, these no good trifling demons, run up behind a black man, swarm on him like a pack of bees, choke him out, take him to the ground, all them crackers jump on top of him. Put their knees and full weight on his back. Choke still apply. And choke the life out of him. They already had run-ins with him before. And he'd already said, every time you see me, you're harassing me. He said, that's over today. Leave me alone is what he said. And they choked him out. Took the life from him. While people just videotaped. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about having those strong enough and us being strong enough. Some of you to videotape and others of you to grab the damn legs, grab the damn gun, grab the damn arms and back these crackers the hell up off your people. It got to be another contingency in self-defense. That'll take the damn taser from them bastards and tase the hell out of that enemy. You worry about consequence. Gangs and all kind of people worrying about consequence. Killing up your people, shooting up the neighborhood. You ain't thought about consequence when it was black on black. When you thought it was even Steven, you wasn't worried about no consequence. Running into the store, taking the money from the drawer. You wasn't worried about no consequence. Spraying your little oozies in the neighborhood, killing the babies, killing the elders. You wasn't worried about no consequence. But when it come time to deal with this pig, when it come time to deal with this real enemy that's trained and regulated to put their foot off in your ass, black man and woman, now you're talking about consequence. We want to train that fear up out of you, brother and sister. Our general chairman, Hashim Nzinga, is ready to put that fear up out of you. You scared of the police. You bunked out. All of you on the block. All of you strapped. You tough with each other. One puny police come along, flash some red and blue lights and clear the whole block out because you're scared of the white man. And if the white man put the black man in charge, you scared of that black man with the white man's authority. That ain't bull in 2013. I'm ready to roll with some brothers and some sisters in any city in America that's ready to grab them damn guns and grab them damn arms and grab them damn legs when they jump on our brothers and sisters like we did in the old days. This ain't nothing new. We've done this. You can chin check them in your own neighborhoods. But you got to know the law. You got to be versed like Huey P. Newton was trying to get them all back in the day. You got to know about being at a reasonable distance. You got to know about search and seizure. You got to know what the law is in terms of trespassing when they try to hit you with little weak trespassing laws and hit you with all kind of little weird old statutes. You got to know about that. Means you got to be willing to study. Means you got to be willing to challenge. Means you got to be willing to talk about warrants and unsigned warrants and jurisdiction and all kind of stuff. You got to be willing to challenge these bastards. You got to know whenever them red and blue lights on, it means war time. Why you think them police cruisers rock with them red, white, and blue lights? What you think they trying to tell you? What you think they trying to say to you? What is the not so subliminal message. You got to be willing to use them iPhones and them Galaxy Androids and all that. You got to be willing to use it on your enemy. You use it anyway. You sending pictures to your boo, sending pictures to this one and that one. You recording this kind of event, that kind of event. You doing all this recording anyway. Record the damn police. What if nobody never recorded what happened to Brother Eric Garner? What if nobody was willing to pull their camera phones out and they just moved away because the pig said it ain't none of your business? Step away. We're going to talk about this and got to move on this. Talking about it because I'm on the radio show, but God damn it, I'm ready to touch the ground on that action. Can't leave it up in the hands of no Al Sharpton. Can't leave it in the hands of none of them over there. The civil rights boys. This ain't no civil rights question. Because this beast ain't never been civil and ain't never been right. Ain't a civil rights question. This ain't for you civil rights boys. This is a revolutionary question. As Imam Jamil Al-Amin was telling you at the beginning, this is about some action, what you willing to put on the line to make sure that there is never another Devin Thomas or Eric Garner or any of them ever again. Dr. Mutulu Shakur, when he writes and talks to me, when he writes and talks to you, he'll say, pick your sacrifice. He'll say, choose your sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice so that you are not always, as George Jackson talked about, the ones doing the bleeding, and that you ain't always the ones on the ground being choked out, the one on the ground being tased out, the one in the back of the police cruiser set up and falsely harassed and arrested? What are we willing to sacrifice? You heard him say in the beginning, the comfortable ones, you ain't going to challenge a damn thing. You so comfortable in America, it don't make sense. America has made you comfortable in its illusion. And so you think you free. You think you cool. You think it's all good. You think you one of them. And then they sick their dogs on you. Four-legged dogs and two-legged dogs. Sick their dogs on you. Biting the hell out of you. Ripping the flesh out your body down to the bone. Then it makes you realize we ain't one and the same. Blackface is involved in the madness. We ain't one and the same. Just because you share the same skin color as me don't mean you got the same heart as me. Some of y'all in the movement got to get that through your head. Every brother ain't a brother. Every brother ain't a brother, and every sister ain't a sister. You got wolves in sheep's clothes out here, running around perpetrating a fraud. Like they with you, black power, assalamu alaikum, hotep, shalom, all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, they reporting back to the white man, reporting back to their boss, reporting back to their master, what you're doing all the time to try to take you down. This ain't no paranoia. We witnessed it 40 and 30 years ago. We witnessed it going through COINTELPRO. We witnessed it with the William O'Neills and the chairman, Fred Hampton, seniors. We witnessed this. So we cannot replay history. So let the police departments in any city, not just New York, with stop and frisk, with any city, you cannot allow the police department just to go buck wild in your neighborhood. It's already a silent martial law. They're already trying to called martial law in Chicago. Soon as Rahm Emanuel took office, all these schools shut down, all these resources shut down, an increase in police presence and an increase in violence, and it's not just because of no gang. A silent martial law being called now, already being maneuvered into Chicago, already being maneuvered into New York, already being maneuvered into Florida, already being maneuvered into California. Armored tank vehicles all over the place. Armored personnel carriers all over the place. In many towns right in the heart of the ghetto. Right in the black community. Military installations. Staffed with vehicles. Right there in the neighborhood. Because they already know that for well over 400 years, your people have been due their justice and due their just due. And they already know and already have it in the plans that when the people wake up, we got to immediately work to put them back down because their rise represents our demise. They know that we are a nation within a nation. They know that we can carve out some of this land to call our own. They know that just like the Palestinians right now are fighting an occupational war against Zionists in Israel. They know that we have this good earth to call our own and we have many enemies to fight. So it don't matter how much you voted for Barack Obama. Barack Obama signed on Israel, and he signed on the black condition. It don't matter how much you believe in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Both of them are the same damn party. There's only one voice in this hell of North America in a revolutionary way that's pumping this black nationalism and pulling our people together to get their minds together. And that's that new Black Panther Party. We rose from the ashes of a Black Panther Party that was destroyed by the FBI and COINTELPRO. Now with our veterans behind us and elders behind us, we're taking the lead, doing it for the people and with the people. Chairman Hashim and Zinger will be on with us in a few moments to bring on our guests. Needs all the help he can get out here. Needs all the support he can get out here. We need all the support we can get out here. It's bigger than one organization. It's bigger than one group. When you see a man choked out right before your eyes on the streets of New York City, it's bigger than any one organization. And any organization that think it's okay to set tripping this out, and you think it's okay to claim your little set this hour, and you think it's okay just to stay in your corner in this hour, I'm here to tell you dead wrong. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than we. We got to come together as a unified front and do what Minister Malcolm X said, which is put your little petty differences to the side. When you hear a man gasping for air, saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And they continue to squeeze. And continue to squeeze. And continue to squeeze. Until his body gets stiff. And he can no longer hold himself. Can no longer hold his defecation, can no longer hold his bowels. And they refuse to give him medical attention. And they let him lie there motionless on the ground. That shows you what kind of heart your enemy has for you. Now, some of you, I know you don't believe that you have an enemy. I know many of you have been tricked by that song they sung in the 80s called We Are the World. Stevie Wonder and all them brothers sisters got together and sung. You got tricked. And you thought because of one song, you didn't have an enemy. You thought because some of our forefathers and foremothers fought for integration instead of separation, you thought you didn't have an enemy. You thought because you could work a job, because you could sit at a lunch counter, because you could sit on a toilet next to a white person, you thought you didn't have an enemy. didn't you listen to some of our great warriors when they get up in old age and don't have a fight in them no more? And start talking about, well, all humans, this is just about humanism. You started listening to them. But it ain't about no humanism. Well, they're God are getting choked out. It ain't about no humanism. When young brother Devin Thomas getting beat over the head with billy clubs. It ain't about no humanism. When your black mother is being pummeled by a sheriff on the side of the road like she a grown-ass man. It ain't about no humanism then, because ain't no other culture facing that kind of wrath. And this beast. Our brown brothers and sisters get it some like that. Sometimes every now and then our red brothers and sisters, sometimes the yellow man and woman, but ain't none getting it like the black man and black woman. You are the most hated and despised people on the planet. We are the most hated and despised people on the planet. Not because we're cursed, but because we're blessed. Not because we're cursed, but because we are the people of our God's choice and our people's choice. We are the people who were destined and prophesied and designed to rule after the destruction of the white man's world. And you can take that to the bank. Little Bobby, little Joe, and all of them on the block are destined to rule. You, brothers and sisters, working to qualify yourself to be better than what you was yesterday, are destined to rule. And you got some player haters, some so-called Jews in Israel, in what's really Palestine, because that wasn't called Israel 50-plus years ago. Some player haters, some Zionists, some so-called Jews, who the Book of Revelations and the Bible, or that New Testament, called the synagogue of Satan. We'll talk about that another day. Some player haters who are there to steal your birthright as a black man and black woman and the original rulers of the planet. That's what they're here for. That's what they're fighting for. The fight is not really about Palestinians and Israelis. The fight is about original control of the land. They're colonizing that land and pushing an imperialist objective on that land to totally dominate that land. The fight is really about the freedom of Africa. And that's what Baba Mukasa is going to tell you in a few moments. It's really about who controls the minerals, who controls the diamonds, who controls the oil, who controls the rubies, who controls the gold, who controls the beryllium? Who controls? See, it's about control. When you're saying black power, and you're saying black power, it's about you really having some power. It ain't about just no slogan. Sick of y'all using that like a slogan. Like it's something to put over top of a banner. And it's something just to say when you stick your fist in the air in some symbolic gesture. Hell no. When I say black power, I mean putting other people out of power. Black power and white power cannot exist at the same time. Black power and certain other powers cannot exist at the same time unless they relent and submit to the rule of the black man and the black woman. I know that's hard for some of y'all. I know it is. But that's why people like us are being beat over the head. Because we're trying to include them in everything that we do. We're trying to be all inclusive. We're trying to be all universal. We're trying to use every method, every tactic, every scheme, every presentation to include these people in our decision making, in our processing, in our educational process, in our economic value, in our fashion sense, in our moral work, in our spiritual value. You're trying to do everything you can to be like them in 2014. And they're doing everything they can to show you They still hate you in 2014. They still don't love you in 2014. It's like an abusive relationship, where the more you abused, or the more that abuser abuses you, the more you keep coming back to that abuser. That's the relationship between the white man and the black man in America. That's the relationship between the white man and black man in Africa. That's the relationship between the white man and black man in England. That's the relationship between the white man and black man in the Caribbean. The more they beat you, the more they sit their dogs on you, the more they terrorize you, the more they give you 20 plus years for shooting a police dog, as what happened to our young brother out there. The more they do that to you, the more you say, I love you, please let me worship with you, please let me be amongst you, please let me fellowship with you, please let us hold hands, instead of being a man and being a woman and separating from this bastard. You can't fathom separation. You're giving up on Garvey, Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. You're giving up on the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. You're giving up on Carlos Cooks. You're giving up on the Republic of New Africa. You've given up on having territory of your own and a nation of your own. But if you can't learn nothing from the Palestinians, whether you respect them or not, whether you love them or not, you can learn to fight for your land. They don't have all them tanks. They don't have all them rocket launches. They don't have all that that's being funded by certain segments of the American government given to Israel. They don't have that in other countries. They don't have that. But they got heart. They got will. They got guerrilla tactic. They got those that are willing to stand in front of tanks with damn slingshots and rocks like David and Goliath. And for the benefit of their people, go toe-to-toe with an armored tank that's ready to blow their damn heads off for the benefit of the Palestinian people. The difference between the Palestinian people and the struggle today that they're fighting right now as we speak versus the struggle that we're fighting right now in America and throughout the world is that the Palestinian people have not given up. They have their culture. They're proud to be Palestinian. They don't give a damn how much the Israelis advance on them, move on the land, or push on their people. They will repel the Israelis and the Zionist forces by any means necessary. That's that same spirit that you had, black man and black woman, when the Hyksos invaded and pushed on you in Egypt and Kemet. That's the same spirit you had on the plantations in Jamestown, Virginia. The same spirit that you had in Haiti with Dupont and Dessalines to St. Louis, that's the same spirit that you got to have, that you got to wake up on in America and understand the condition that you're facing right now. It's not no time to play. It's ain't no time to witness no porcelain mouth, Nene Leakes, and none of them reality stars. Winches on TV. It ain't that kind of time where you can dance a jig and color up and coon and buffoon your way through this and hope you make it on the other side. This ain't that kind of struggle. This the kind of struggle like what Minister Malcolm X taught you about. This the kind of struggle like what Kwame Ture taught you about. This the kind of struggle like what Huey P. Newton taught you about. This the kind of struggle. Like what Marcus Garvey talked to you about. This that kind of Honorable Dr. Gunnar Abdul Muhammad struggle. Well, you either win or you die. This the struggle that Emily Douglas taught you about in the Black Panther Party. You either win or you die. And I ain't willing to be marching no gas chamber like no so-called Jews and be sprayed with all kind of toxins and poisons and chemicals and be turning the rings and gold teeth and soap. Anything to happen. We'll slaughter everything moving in self-defense that tries to enslave our people and it tries to advance on our people. So when I'm looking at a police department and police departments that are being sicked on my people and they're being told in their boardrooms, treat, as Attorney Monique Zulu Shabazz told us last week, treat the camera phones like weapons. Lie and say you've seen a gun. Try and intimidate you from holding your camera phone out, from recording the police legally within a reasonable distance in the line of their duty as a peace officer. You have tried to intimidate our people. And I'm telling my people, all of them who have sense, don't you be intimidated out there. And don't you be pumped up. It comes a time in life where you just got to man up and woman up. And God damn it, if something going to happen, it's going to happen. You got to be able to put your life in your God's hands, in your ancestors' hands, and stand on them for what they believe and what they taught and what they put in your DNA. They might not be here physically, but they are alive in your DNA, black man and black woman. Darby is here. Elijah is here. Juwan Lee is here. Dewey is here. George Jackson is here. Harriet Tubman is here. Shirley Chisholm is here. Who else you need? They're in your DNA. All you got to do is exercise it. You got more technology right now than they could ever dream of. Use it against your enemy. Use it against your oppressor. Determine in your mind tonight as you listen to this broadcast that you ain't going to be no punk and no sissy and bend over and get a white man an opening to do evil with. Determine you're going to be a free black man and black woman. Hold your head up in America. Stop walking around with your head down and stop looking down at the ground. Look these bastards in the eye, Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught you. Look them in the eye. If you got to meet your opponent in the street, then damn it, meet your opponent in the street. But look them in the eye. And don't puck out. Don't tap out. Use strategy, but don't tap out. Man, it's a heavy hour we're living in. Let me go to the phone line as I get our chairman on. We're going to go over a lot. I mean, y'all listen to Black Power Radio. We may have to go into a second overdrive show after this show tonight to get this over to you. I'll let you know. Number to call tonight, 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. Eric Garner, choked out, New York City, live before the world. And the commissioner and the officials say they have to launch an investigation. It will be investigated. What the hell is there to investigate? It is illegal for the NYPD to use a chokehold on a so-called citizen in the performance of their duty. What the hell is there to investigate? It will be investigated. It's like Dr. Collier used to say, it's like Jesse James investigating his brother. It's like the James brothers investigating each other. I mean, come on now. You really think the police going to investigate themselves? You think they're going to bring themselves to the court? Didn't you learn anything from Oscar Grant? Oscar Grant, killer and murderer, a free man. Let me go to the phone lines as I prepare to bring General Hashim and Jingle on the line. 646-240. You're here with me on Black Power Radio. I want you to give your thoughts on this situation with Brother Eric Garner. We're also tonight are talking about political prisoners, as y'all heard us talking about Imam Jamil Al-Amin, who was in a unique situation where he was not receiving medical attention. He was being denied medical attention and caught an infection in his gums. We're going to talk about that. He recently got transferred. We're thankful to the God for that. He got transferred to where maybe now he can get some serious medical attention. But he was in there so long, that he developed what would be akin to having like cancer of the gums. And so we want to talk about that, talk about the status of our political prisons, and talk about this black genocide. 646-270, you're live with Black Power Radio. Come in with your question and comment. Welcome, Black Power. Six four six two seven zero. Your mic's open. Go ahead with your question and comment. All right, we'll move forward. 862-755. Eric Bode, 862-755. You're live on Black Power Radio. Tell us how you feel about the Ed Garner being killed out of New York City. Black Power.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, this is just a melody.
Hey, Black Power.
All power to the people, my brother.
Power to the people. What you think about the brother being shipped out? You got to cut your radio down just a little bit.
Well, you're breaking up, but I'll give you my opinion on what I think is going on here in New York, period, as far as this chokehold and any other thing that's the direct attack upon the people. Regardless of what we think, we are still under the black codes, as I said before many times on this show, and we are still in a state of slavery. And until black people wake up and accept the fact that it's either freedom or death and do what they have to do, it's going to be this way.
So you said, my sister, you said we don't get it.
Well, y'all not listening, because if y'all was listening, you'd be done what I asked you to do months ago. And it's not just you. I mean, I've been talking to the youth. I've been talking to a lot of people. And I'm in the process of trying to educate the people. Malik Zulu Shabazz is supposed to be opening up a new university. We're supposed to be trying to address many of the loopholes of education. Miseducation that we have put ourselves under, you know. We accept things by the gruff of our neck and the grip of our belly, you know. This is ridiculous. All this suffering that we're doing for what? You're going to die anyway.
For sure. No doubt about it. Did you get a chance to catch that? Conversation with the minister, what was your thoughts on
that? I can't hear you. Repeat that.
I said, did you get a chance to hear the NYPD commissioner and all the officials with their press conference?
Well, my comment on that is that the NYPD has been notorious since its beginning for corruption. It's nothing new. Why is it surprising people? I mean, they make the laws and they break the law. This has been going on since slavery. So what's new? The police? That's what we call them down south, because they're not but poor white trash, you know?
Right.
It just don't make no sense to me no more. I mean, people accepting garbage like this, people should be in the streets right now rioting, my brother. Under Huey, under Dr. King, under Malcolm, under any of the leaders that we had in the 60s when I was growing up, we would have been out in the streets rioting right now. There would have been no recourse. They don't have enough police officers to sustain and keep black people in line if they get out there in the street. They don't have it. We outnumber them 100-1. What's the problem?
Right. I feel how you feel. The problem is comfortability. And we got to make people uncomfortable when they come to the room.
I can't hear you. Say that again.
I was just saying some people have gotten comfortable.
I really can't hear you. Your microphone is not that good, and it's really hard for me to hear what you're saying. But the people have got to come together. you mentioned the Palestinian people and their struggle. The reason why their struggle is successful is because they're in unity under God Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're in unity. They do not, they accept that Allah is the controller of their life and their death. They accept that. And therefore, as a unit, they move. But here in America, we're so diverse in whatever belief we have or whatever kind of politics we practice that we have no unity. So until we achieve some kind of unity, there's no revolution. How can it be a revolution when you don't have unity?
Word. Yeah, that's the key. That's the key right there. But you know, you said our people fight instinctively. And so it takes these kind of conditions like awareness in many people.
I don't understand what kind of conditions you're talking about. The Palestinian people have been oppressed for the last, 60 years? 60 years of oppression, okay? That's not been the kind of oppression that we've experienced. I mean military oppression, bombing, killing in the neighborhood, not on the battlefield, in the neighborhood. We had one incident here in Philadelphia where they dropped a bomb in South Philly in the neighborhood of black people. And what happened? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay? If this had been Palestine, people would have been out in the street like they're out in the street now. Being that this is the month of Ramadan, I have been fasting and praying for our people and for the world. And I've seen so much stuff, and I've heard so many things coming back from Palestine, brothers who are coming back and telling us stuff, like children saying, Imam, if the bomb blows up and I get dirt in my mouth, is my fast broken? They're so worried about pleasing Allah so that they can get through this that it's just, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's crazy when you talk about how we live in here almost in the lap of luxury, and we still don't understand that we're still in a gilded cage. I don't get it, man. I really don't.
Oh, yeah. I get it because the Palestinian people, as I said in the beginning, they still have their culture, and our people were stripped of their culture through a different kind of process. It does take away the power of the people that's disunited. So I know what the issue is.
But
it's not too late to get it back.
That's really, to me, weak, okay, because the Palestinian people's culture, I've seen their culture. I lived abroad in my first years of my life, and I have visited Palestine and other countries, and the culture that they had then is not what they have now. They have the same broken culture that we have, and even worse because they're in their own land, and they can't practice any of their culture. They're wearing American clothes. They can't wear the clothes that they wore in the 50s when I saw them. There's no way that children in Palestine have a culture when they can't even go to school. How can you go to school and they dropping bombs on your school?
They still have a culture even though the bombs are dropping.
No, brother. We have the same opportunity. We have the same opportunity.
No, mom. There's no Palestinian culture. Not enough.
I don't understand what you're saying because I've been a member of the African diaspora since I was 21. For the last 30 years, we have produced the culture here. We produced not only a culture, but we had the East Community Center. We had all kinds of things. We still have the East festival every year that is a solid foundation of African culture. We have African culture here in America. We have produced our culture.
That's new, but that's new, and that has
sir, it is not new. It is not new. I am 60 years old, and I have been a member of that community since I was 21 years old. When J2AUC started the East, I have been a member of that community, and this community is still going strong.
Sister Melody, with all respect, but you're talking about a 400-plus-year problem. And it won't be solved in 20 years or 40 years.
No, and it won't be solved if we continue to make excuses as to why we can't fight a revolution because we have no culture. We don't need a culture to fight a revolution. We need a backbone.
That's not the excuse for fighting a revolution. We're talking about the point of unity and why the Palestinians can unite to fight the revolution.
The community as a whole has to accept the fact that this culture that you're talking about will not come about and will not exist until we get rid of the problem. And the problem, we all know, throughout the world, when Malcolm and all of them talked about the Van Damme Conference and how the world got together and said they have a common problem, and that common problem is the white man of America.
That's right.
Okay? The white European who has the weapons to go around the world and play God, okay?
This is the result.
And we cannot continue to say that it is because we have no culture that we have no unity. We have no unity because we don't have a backbone, brother. We have a bunch of people out here who have gone simply cold coward. I'm sorry.
Well, that again comes back to that COVID experience was teaching them how to be warriors, brothers, sisters, men and women. But I gotta break my sermon off. But thank you so much, Mr. Melody. Always interesting.
You're quite welcome, my brother. No problem. Anytime.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, Black Power.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All power to the people.
All power to the people. That was our bold sister Melody, dropping them statistics, and she's right on several points. Let me come in and bring in our general and commander, black man who is fighting hard. I have to say he's fighting hard, almost really to the point of exhaustion. We have to slow this brother down, but he's determined, and he's doing his work. And so I believe that our national chairman is here to bring our guest on, Baba Mukasa Ricks, formerly Willie Ricks. Let me see if this is our chairman. Brother Chairman, are you all with us? Black Power. Chairman Hashim and Zing, are you with us? May not be with us. They be having some problems with the phone. Let me bring in another caller. I'll try to bring him right black. Area code 718-221, you're on live, Black Power Radio. Give us your thoughts, your feelings, your passions on how you feel about Brother Eric Garner being choked out in the street like that in New York City. Talk to us, Black Power.
Brother Elijah out of New York chapter, and how I feel about that's real messed up. It's something that we need to rise up and we need to deal with. And that's what we're doing here in New York. We're not going to let that pass. We're going to go ahead and deal with it to the fullest. So right now, what we're doing, we're setting up to go to his funeral. Once we go to his funeral, we're going to go ahead and go to his court dates, and we're going to go ahead and meet his moms. Right now, Al Sharpton is dealing with it. He got some lawyers on it. But I feel that we, as the party, need to deal with that situation. So I'm, working with Malik and Brother Akbar. And we're going to go ahead and, because he want to, come down here in New York and deal with some of that situation. So I'm going to go ahead and get the information that I need and give it back to him, and then we're going to go from there. And so how I feel about the situation, it need to be dealt with, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, tell us what the energy is right now on the ground, Brother Elijah. You there in New York City. And you put a pulse of the people. Tell us what the spirit is right now, what the energy is right now, what the common conversation is right now amongst our people.
Well, what it is that our people is really dealing with the home foreclosures. A lot of people is losing homes in Bedford-Stuyvesant, which is actually the chocolate city or community of Brooklyn. And so it's a lot of things that's up in the air with the police killing that brother. And, you know, I walk through the community and I talk to the people and I ask them about what they think about it. And, you know, they're really upset about it. And so everything, the temperature is like, it's pretty hot, you know, and anything can happen at any time, you know. So I feel, you know, this is something that got to be dealt with, you know. A lot of the property of African Americans is being taken, and that's something that we have to deal with. And so I feel, you know, we just come together and deal with the situation. You know, that this thing ain't gonna stop until we, you know, take a stand. You know, we have to. That's one thing. What we do here in New York is we make ourselves visible to the people, because when I look in the eyes of the people, I see no hope. And so that's why I go through the community. That's one reason why I go through the community and let the people know that there is hope. And when they see the Black Panther Party coming through there, the new Black Panther Party coming through there, they see hope, you know, and they see encouragement. And I'm telling them about this program that comes on the radio every Sunday. It deals with foreclosures of houses. And this program, there's saving a lot of houses. One of my friends' house went in foreclosure, and I gave him the number, and he called the people, and his house is being saved. So I'm working with our people on that. I'm working with our people dealing with a slave theater, which is this judge.
Yes, sir.
That actually owned the theaters. It was two theaters actually in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and he owned a lot of other properties, apartment buildings and things of that sort. And so he, what happened, make a long story short, he ended up dying. You know, they end up stealing this property, and the judge, this judge that we had down here in Brooklyn, actually not this judge, but actually the DA, he ended up sending the judge up to the Bronx and put him in a nursing home up there to get him away from his property so he can steal his property. And that's what they end up doing. So dealing with the slave theater, the property was given to one of these brothers that we're working with, which is Brother Hardy. And so we are coming down to that brother, because what they do, they send the agents down there to harass the brother. And one time the brother was assaulted by one of these big brothers that I know, but I'm going to go ahead and talk to him when I see him. But that's something that we do.
Brother Elijah, so right now, for the brothers and sisters that want to help you and want to help the comrades in New York City to put pressure on this incident, like Eric Garner and stop and frisk and everything that's going on, because we're gonna need plenty of support in New York City. How can they get with you? What can they do to support you? And, you know, give us some information on what some upcoming moves are for Eric Garner in New York City.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and give you a number to my assistants, one of my comrades, and you can get in contact with me through him. And I'm gonna go ahead and give you his number. His name is Habel. And he should be on the line anyway. And I'm going to go ahead and give you his number. You can call him. Let me go ahead and punch this up real quick. Y'all probably have to excuse me, but I have my teeth is hurting. I have a toothache. All right, the number is area code. The number is area code 646-204-7249. I repeat, 646-204-7249. Get in contact with him, and you can get in contact with me, because we're going to be dealing with it. We firsthand down there dealing with that situation when it coming from the party.
All right, brother, we appreciate that. Y'all stay strong. Stay strong on the grind and stay intense. Keep the pressure applied, brother, and open up the support to, you know, from help for all your people. Open up the ranks to get support from all our people all around New York City. We want to make them pay for what they did to our brother and other brothers and sisters.
Well, I want to tell you this. This incident right here that happened, this murder, this slaughter of this brother, a lot of brothers is getting bold. So I got a lot of brothers because I used to do a lot of touring through the community on the weekend, especially Saturday. And we do that every Saturday. So a lot of brothers want to join in. So I got different organizations that we are coming together, and we're going to go ahead and patrol the street. We probably be around about 25, in between 25, 50 deep. So we're getting out there, and we're going to go ahead and do what we need to do to protect our black women, our children, and to protect our elders and our community. And let these crackers know that you can't come down here and take over our community, because we ain't going for that. Because where are we going to go if you take our community? So we ain't going for that. So we standing strong here in New York, and we on the road.
All right, brother.
So,
thank you so much. And in everything that you do, I'll never be hesitant to bust ahead in self-defense and defend yourself.
Definitely, sir. All power to the people,
Black power. All right, power to the people, Black power. Thank you. That's Brother Elijah, New York City. He's giving you the feel on what's happening on the ground. And, you know, the people are fed up. People are tired. And, you know, it's just like a tea kettle. Minister Malcolm X gave that description of a powder keg some 40 years ago. He said that, you know, powder keg to the white man is inside of your house. And this black powder keg is inside of your house, and it's ready to blow. Let me get another caller here. Your area code is 404-587-404-587. You're on live Black Power Radio. Give us your thoughts. How do you feel about the situation? How did it affect you? Talk to us. What can we do as a people?
Black Power. This is Brother Ken Takeoff from Atlanta, Georgia.
Black Power.
Yes.
Yes,
one thing I was just thinking of, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out here as a suggestion, as like they were saying rioting and other means of like revenge and stuff, but I also think of like, why we don't strategize on like how we're going to take over that community, like controlling our community as a point of the police controlling.
You talking about a physical takeover of the community?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, like, if we rioting, after riot is over, then they still control the community. Let's talk about, like, advancing our cause. Let's talk about taking over the whole community.
Oh yeah, that's what I was saying, that as Kwame Ture talked about, you know, our people fight instinctively, and so I mean, even without organization over a certain period, if you kick us enough, we will spontaneously react. I mean, we showed you that, and you know, the Watts rebellions and all that. I mean, and we will spontaneously react if you kick us enough, even without, you know, an organization or a vanguard that's controlling the situation or pushing the line. But like you say, we want to have an end result to where, you know, there are political objectives met to what we do. So where even if we have to raise the struggle to the point to where we in the streets tearing some shit up, you know, part of my proper English, it has a political meaning and objective to it, and it's not just spontaneous to where we're doing it and then go to hell home and watch Basketball Wives tomorrow. You know what I mean? So I agree with you 100%.
Okay. That's it. I mean, I was just wondering, like, more of a strategy, like, let's take over. Let's take over this community. It's not only rioting, protests and stuff against the community. Let's take over. Let's make sure that we get what's the goods and the commerce that's going in. make sure that we get the police. Let's get the people in that community to control that community.
Absolutely. That's the way it should be, and that's the order of the path. I think that's something, brother, that you know we're going to have to pick back up from the paths of yesterday, which is community control and community control of the police. And I think that's something that has been taken off of the agenda of most of the organizations. Most of these organizations are not talking about controlling the police. They're talking about working with the police, you know, or being side by side with the police, but they're not talking about having the control. And the Black Panthers of yesterday talked about community control of the police, and the new Black Panther Party going to have to say the same thing, that we have to organize conditions and situations where we control who controls in our community. That's going to have to be put on the table. Anything else, I think, at this point would be foolish. And as I said in the opening, we even have to entertain the idea of our own Black, quote-unquote, police force and our own Black militias, period, in self-defense.
I mean, I agree with 100. I would like to go to the community. I mean, see what their demands and what they need as a force in their community. I'm not saying being a police, but being a vanguard of that community. It's like, well, I don't want to replace the police with us. But I'm saying, what do the community needs in their community without the police?
Absolutely. That's correct. That's the correct analysis. That's the right analysis. That's Black Power. I'm with you. So I think we're clear on that. I think that we just, you know, you in Atlanta, I think that we just have to figure out how to organize that for Atlanta. I got to organize it across the country, but it's something we got to move on right away, brother, because these things cannot be allowed to continue to stay in our communities and do what they do over and over to us, and we just take it and lay back and have another sunny day. No, we got to get some community control and some community power. Yes, sir. So thank you, Brother Kente. Thank you for your comment, brother.
Okay. Black Power.
All right, Black Power. That's real talk. Some community control and some community power. Now, for those of you who may have missed it and may not know what it is that we're talking about, we're talking about a case you might have heard about, some of you probably heard about over the weekend, some of you might not have, but Eric Garner, 43-year-old Staten Island man, and he was put in what appeared to be a chokehold, and this was Thursday, by NYPD, New York City Police, and he died. And this was recorded, and this video went viral. Now, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio spoke. He spoke on Friday, and he called it a terrible tragedy. And, you know, had a few prepared words to say and all of this. He said he was troubled by the video and all that. And he said he ordered William J. Bratton, who's the police commissioner, to make sure there's a full investigation. Prosecutors, as well as the police department, so they're all going to look into Brother Garner's death. And they say it appears that he was selling individual cigarettes, which, of course, either way you slice it, for you devils, either way you slice it, it's a minor offense. Even if he was doing that, and I don't even believe he was doing that in his defense. But even if he was allegedly selling individual cigarettes, it's a minor offense. So when these police responded, now allegedly witnesses on the scene say Brother Garner was breaking up a fight that had just happened. He being a peacemaker. Somebody got into a fight, Brother Garner breaking that thing up. But the police was called, but the daughter still on the sidewalk. The people who got into the fight had already dispersed. and ends up in this chokehold. Now, as defined by the Department's Control Guide, this is classified as a chokehold. And so now they said all the everything will be determined in the final determination depending upon what the district attorney and police department's own internal affairs have to say about the investigation. But I do want to reiterate, chokeholds are prohibited by the New York Police Department. Bratton said, now, this police commissioner, he said that the department may remind or retrain officers to make sure they know that chokeholds are not allowed. I mean, this is just crazy, but it's what he said. The city's medical examiner said Sunday it had not determined the cause of death, refuting reports that it already been determined that it was a chokehold, reports suggesting that it had already determined that the chokehold didn't damage Garner's throat, because reports had already come out saying that the chokehold didn't damage him. Well, the coroner has already refuted that, saying they didn't put that kind of information out there. So this stuff went viral. A second video came out, showed by the Garner on the ground for several minutes while officers waited for emergency personnel. And so they say that his death brought to mind NYPD's trouble issue, which is the man he was talking about, something that factored heavily into De Blasio's mail campaign. He criticized stop and frisk policies while he was running and pledged to mend the relationship between the police and the citizens. So far as Brother Garner's death, rallies were held. He was remembered by those who knew him. He had six children and a wife, so he was a wonderful grandfather. And, just by all local standards, was just a good man, a good brother. Daniel Pantaleo, I believe his name is, Daniel Pantaleo, the officer who appeared hit by the guy in his chokehold, they made him turn in his badge and his gun. Mr. Patrick J. Lynch, president of the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, called that decision by the police department, now listen to this, completely unwarranted and absolutely wrong. In a statement that they released, a civilian complaint review board, which investigates complaints against NYPD, announced that it will study chokehold complaints it has received since 2009, and they said they're going to make this chokehold study an agency priority, according to Ms. Fox, an executive director of that agency. The agency said it had received 1,022 so-called allegations between 2009 and 2013, 1,022, fully investigating 462 of them, and determining that they couldn't figure out if a chokehold was used in nearly half of those instances. After Brother Garner's death, the agency said it would look into the chokeholds. It would look at what the chokeholds did to the victims during these years, what police officers said during recorded interviews, and what was going on when the chokehold occurred. And so this organization has been considered a toothless tiger in the past, to quote a city council, Christine Quinn. And so they're doing all this back and forth, and basically what they say it comes down to is quote-unquote effective policing, which by definition is constitutional and respectful policing. Okay, so that's the talk right now. That's according to news and what's happening right now. But I mean, it's all happenstance. Bottom line, no matter how much prompt and circumstance you give to the situation, bottom line is you killed the man. That's the bottom line. I don't care how you try to slice it. A man selling cigarettes on the corner cannot be put in a chokehold and choked out of life. Let me take some more calls here. Get your thoughts on it. Area code 504-432. The area code is 504. 432, you are live at Black Power Radio. Sean Saddam Kwame, Brother Eric Garner, Show Pride of Life. NYPD and police on a rampage. What do we do? Black power.
Black power, soul power, brother. What we do, like you said earlier, we need to be out there in the streets to monitor those pigs, where those pigs won't do what they're supposed to do. Basically, the pigs do what they put. They do this crazy, wild stuff because enough people are not going out there getting involved. We caught up into our own little world while our brothers and sisters are struggling out there with the with this beast and everything. We catching hell for those who are out there. So basically, as what Brother Huey and them said, basically, brothers and sisters, this is your business. Basically, the pig's not going to do all this wild, crazy stuff if enough of us are out here.
If enough of us are out there,
this pig's not going to do that. If enough of us were to stand up and everything, stand up, the pigs wouldn't come into our community doing all this crazy stuff. And, Brother
Sean,
I'm going to say this. Basically, the new Black Panther Party is needed in this day and time, 2014. Basically, black folks are catching more hell than they were back in the 60s.
That's right.
And I want those for the original Black Panther Party, which I love and I respect. I respect Huey. I respect Fred Hampton. I respect for those who gave their life, little Bobby Hutton. It's a whole bunch of them. But basically, for the original Panthers that's here, that's living, get behind us. Get behind us. Support us. Teach us. Show us the mistakes that y'all made. Be down with us. Help us out. Don't get there and criticize, you know, because many of them have lost it. But those who still have committed, get behind us. Support us. Show us
right.
How to go out there and do these programs. Show us. Show us the younger cubs to go out there and how to do this. Don't criticize
That's
us.
Right.
Get behind us. And another
That's
thing
right.
what we need to do, another thing what we need to do too, because I heard about Jameer Alameen, H-Rap Brown. Matter of fact, H-Rap Brown got some people down here in New Orleans too. We need to get some conscious doctors that's real conscious and that's serious about helping our people. We need to get out there. We need to do that program, the sickle cell anemia. That program needs to get back on the agenda too, the sickle cell anemia program.
Yes, sir. All we got to do is make it happen. What I tell people all the time about those OG comrades, that old guard, is they, you know, they are superheroes, but they weren't superheroes. They were brothers and sisters your age, my age, and younger, you know, who came together and filled in the gaps of the black community. Wherever they saw that the need was, that's where they started serving at, you know. And so it's the same thing for 2014. Now, some of them same things that was needed in 66, 67, 68, they may not necessarily be needed like that in 2014. But 2014 has its own set of conditions. And then there are some issues that were unanswered in 66 and 67 that have to be answered in 2014. So I do want to say on their behalf, though, you know, speaking, you know, as one of their own, I would say that there are OGs who have got behind the new Black Panther Party. I would say really more than ever within the last, I'm going to say, 2 years. Man, talking about the likes of a sister Charlotte O'Neill and Pete O'Neill, who's over there in exile. You know, and she'll be coming back over here in a few weeks, matter of fact, talking about the likes of Emory Douglas, former Minister of Culture, Black Panther Party, talking about a sister who's been on our show a couple times, Sister Pilu and Yasha. I mean, so many that I could name, Sister Joan Tarika Lewis. You got the Kathleen Cleavers, all kinds of people who have shown their support for the new Black Panther Party, and it's not that they don't support them. It's not that they don't want to see us successful. It's that, hell, we got to make ourselves successful. They can't. I don't care how much we love Minister Huey. I don't care how much that we love Chairman Fred Sr. I don't care how much we love any of them. You know, even Chairman Bobby Seale, any of them today, they cannot hold our hands. And that's really a message to the new Black Panther Party. They cannot. hold our hand. They can give us the guidance and the wisdom to avoid the pitfalls and the snares. And a lot of times, if we just ask, they'll give that to you for free. They'll give you, as they say in the streets, they'll give you that game for free. They've been through so much, it pours out of them if we ask the right questions. But in terms of doing this work and in terms of getting busy in these streets, they cannot hold our hands. Many of them is grandfathers, grandmothers. You know, they're getting up in the age. Many of them got health problems. A lot of them is leaving the scene, you know. So we got to take advantage for the young soldiers and young warriors that are out here. We have to take advantage of all of our elders. That's inclusive of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan at 81 and Sharon O'Malley Yeshiteli. So many others that are out here, all of our elders and veterans in the struggle that are out here that have been around through some hard times. We got to take advantage of that and ask them the right questions and pull the information out there. But I don't want us to ever think, you know, I don't want us to think that they'll hold our hands and that they have to hold our hands, because they don't. But everything else, my brother, really everything you said, I feel you on and agree with you on. I just wanted to say that on their behalf, that there are plenty of OGs.
No, they don't. They don't have to hold our hand, no. But what I'm saying is, though, from what I, you know, this old stuff, but, you know, just, you know, don't go. I mean, from what you did your part back in the 60s, but this is a new generation coming up. At least, okay, we did our thing. Let's get behind the brothers. Let's just talk to them. Let's educate them. We did our part, but there's a new generation coming up, because each generation is going to struggle and struggle and struggle. But what I'm saying is, by why y'all are here and you see us doing the work, don't criticize us. You know, if they do, we just going to go out there and we're going to do what we got to do. We're going to push them to the side. But for those who, you know, who respect us, get behind us. That's all I'm saying. Just get behind us, you know?
Oh, yeah. And they will, brother. They have, and they will. There's more of them that support them than that's against us. And I know many of us saw Bobby Seale get out there and say some more crazy stuff some years ago, and then Huey P. Newton Foundation made a statement some years ago. I mean, we've answered all of that over and over again, and really, really, really dead the whole situation. I've spoken, and Attorney Malik Shabazz has spoken to Chairman Bobby Seale several times since he got out there and said what he said. Like I say, you know, it's in the nature of man and woman sometime, brother, that, you know, as they have gone through certain things and survived, sometimes, you know, the OGs, I know we like to see them in their prime, just like Ali in his prime. You know, we'd love to see that Ali in his prime, that trash talking, you know, that fast talking, you know, that heavy hitting Ali from Louisville, Kentucky, that'll knock a joker out, you know, but he's older, you know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, sometimes when these brothers and sisters are getting up in age, man, they just want to sit down, you know what I mean? And so some of them have earned that seat, no matter what his criticism is of the new Black Panther Party, and there are some criticisms, and some of the criticisms are very warranted. Don't get it twisted. Or were warranted at one point. Let me be clear. They were warranted at one point before Revolutionary Correction. You know, no matter what Chairman Bobby Seale's criticism was, it you know, does not outweigh or outstrip the love that we have for him as chairman and co-founder of the Black Panther Party, survivor of one of the most awesome onslaughts from the United States government, with COINTELPRO and Revolutionary on the point. And so, you know, we keep things in perspective. And as you say, brother, the Cubs push on. You know, regardless, if you know, we would love for the Cubs to be able, I put this on my Facebook page the other day. We would love for the older veteran Panther to be able to carry us to safety, as within the order of the Panther, you know, to protect the Cubs. But most of our veteran Panthers have been jailed and exiled and killed, and others ran away, you know, and others, you know, became tired. Some, very few, still fighting on the front line. And so the Cubs are here, and the Cubs have to hold the line and protect the legacy and protect the order and protect the work not only for ourselves, but for them too. So we got a heavy task, Brother Harold. So I said, lace up your boots and mount up and get busy, Black man.
All right, Black Power, all power to the people, brother. But most of all, our souls got to be into us. So that's why I say soul power.
All right, Black Power, soul power. Let me see. I recognize a number on here that I got to pull into the conversation. I mentioned him to you all earlier. I want to bring a big brother and champion in this conversation. I know he got a lot to say on Brother Eric Thorne. I know he got a lot to say on Brother Devin Thomas, a lot to say on other issues. Let's bring in the Attorney General, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Black Power, Brother Chief of Staff, Sean Kwali, and Black Power to the listening audience. Very happy to be on. I'm just happy to be able to just chime in for a minute. I won't take long. You all again. Sounding good, sounding strong, and I'm happy to be on Black Power Radio. It is the number one black conscious radio show in the black nation.
Let me
just say this quickly. We're calling for help to follow up on last week. We are, our operations in Petersburg, Virginia, have increased. Matter of fact, they're increasing all over America. Let me update you real quickly. In Petersburg, Virginia, starting tomorrow on the 22nd, there is a campaign that the community is waging in Petersburg, and it is endorsed by and supported by Black Lawyers for Justice. But it is the local community that will be moving on the city council on Petersburg, Virginia, 6 p.m. tomorrow. I'm going to read off the address. Well, if you're in Norfolk, if you're in Richmond, if you're anywhere in Virginia, we want you to join the supporters of Devin Thomas as they move on the city council, and the supporters of the Fisher family. You've seen how they dog the Fisher family. It's on YouTube and everywhere on the news, how they took the mother and choked her. A white officer just took her, choked the life out of the black woman, flipped her over the porch and just slammed her on the ground. Several feet below, as outrageous as hell, excessive force in Petersburg, Virginia. Anyway, the Devin Thomas case, the Fisher case, all of the hot cases that are hot in Petersburg, Virginia, you would need to be at the city council meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on July 27th, July 22nd, strike that. 6 o'clock, July 22nd, activists and residents will descend on the city council. They will storm the city council of Petersburg to demand that police brutality in the city end and that the criminal charges against Devin Thomas be dismissed and that there be a hands-off, a ceasefire in the community between the police and our own people. And the address to that city council meeting is 103 River Street, Petersburg, Virginia. 103 River Street in Petersburg, Virginia. Call 804-926-9640. and other attacks, the education system and in general, the building of a united front in that city and in that state of Virginia. So if you want interested in any of this, it's 202-706-1373. There's no need for police agents to call or try to join any of these meetings because I have special detection systems that will expose you and expose you to critical liability. And you don't want to risk that and just staying out. Also, finally, on this point, also in Petersburg, Virginia, after that meeting with activists, I will be meeting with a group of black men only. It's men of black men only. VIP. You can call again, 202-706-1373. Or 804-926-9640. And so we're talking about, again, black men only. I want to meet with any black man in the state of Virginia. They're going to come from Norfolk, Richmond, anywhere in Virginia, you're a black man, and now you want to hear about me, you want to meet me, now damn it, I'll be in Petersburg, Virginia at 5 p.m. And call the numbers at 5 p.m. Monday. I want to see you, black man, because we're not going to sit up here and waste time all the time complaining that the white man has killed us, that the police have dogged us, and time after time again, they're squeezing the life out of us on the streets of America. And so now we have to build our own legal and lawful defense force. And black men across the state of Virginia, New York, Washington, D.C., and everywhere else in America, we can't keep talking. We got to goddamn build this army, this legal and lawful army, in the hells of violent North America. Okay, so I'm not going to go on and on, but that is the announcement. The city council tomorrow in Petersburg, we want you to come out of Norfolk, Richmond, everywhere. Come on in to support Devin Thomas. That is where the battle is being waged. Support the Fisher family and let this little town of 31,000 know that you, the black man and woman of Virginia, brought to Jamestown in 1555, that you will rise up in this neo-Confederate state in this day and hour. Now, the next point that I want to make here before I get off here is that New York City, there will be a major demonstration this Saturday. I'm pulling up the number here. Can you still hear me, brother?
Oh, yes, sir. You're a little muffled.
Let me roll through this quickly because I don't want to just bear with me for a minute. In New York City this Saturday on Staten Island, there will be a major demonstration on Staten Island. And that is, the phone number here is, and I'll come right back to that. And Sean, bear with me for a minute. Let me pull something up on my phone. Fill in with me for a minute. Keep them pumped. Give me 1 second.
Yes, sir. Told y'all, ain't nothing but moves coming. This is attorney
yeah,
I'll leave
me,
you
let me pull this up on my phone. And then
take your time.
I can get you there.
Attorney of my league, Zulu Shabazz, the Attorney General of Black Lawyers for Justice, and Boots is touching the ground. And any of you all listening, you can get involved with this. You don't have to be a member of Black Lawyers for Justice, the new Black Panther Party, to do this. This is for our people and our people's survival. And so any of these places where he named, we want to meet you there. Don't meet us there, beat us there, as we used to say. And so get involved.
Right.
The numbers that he's giving out, call him. Go ahead, sir.
All right, I'm back. I know your time is running on this two-hour broadcast. The case of Eric Garner that is running across our internet browsers and across the screen, and everyone is seeing how our brother Eric Garner and how his life was choked out by a pack of wild wolf-like racist police officers, cops, gang members in badges in New York City. And if you saw that, and you did see that, and there will be a major demonstration in Staten Island, I'm talking major, this Saturday. And if you want information on that, I want you to call this number that I'm about to give you right now. And that number is 917. Call this number, 917 917-780-8526. 917-780-8526. Or you can call 202 right here at the headquarters of our Ministry of Justice, 202-706-1373. And that is the Ministry of Justice for Black Lawyers for Justice. And it's also the Ministry of Justice information number for the new Black Panther Party in that region, in this region of Washington, D.C. But if you are in New York and you want to take part in this demonstration in Staten Island, it will be strong. You must call that number, 917-780-8526. We need some soldiers. We need some brothers and sisters to come out. And let me say to you that this campaign in New York City, it will not be your average or typical campaign. And you must trust me on that. We are tired of having marches. We're going to have a march and a demonstration, but at the same time, we're goddamn tired of it. So if we're going to have it and we're tired of it, you need to call them members and help us organize, and we can show you what's the next level after being tired of it. Are you listening to me? Now, if you want to end to police brutality in the hills of America 100%, it probably will be an impossibility, because that is equivalent to saying that you could reform America and you cannot reform America, because she has been killing black men since the very beginning. She's going to continue to kill black men. And so ain't no use getting no illusions in your head about none of this. But we are going to play some goddamn defense. We're going to play some legal defense. We're going to play some legal defense and some political defense, and we're going to play some build a black man up and defend his community type defense, and we're going to all work together in a united front. And so that's what all I have in this hour. That's what we're working on in this hour. That's New York City, and that is Virginia, the 22nd, the City Council, Petersburg, the 28th. I will be in Petersburg that Monday, and of course, here now also this Saturday, which is the 26th, in New York City on Staten Island. The location will be announced. And also in New York City, we must say that in strongly in front of those organizing efforts in New York will be the new Black Panther Party. Will be the
That's
new
right.
Black Panther Party. And so we are making efforts to reach not only past the new Black Panther Party, new Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, any and all community groups. We don't care whether they're civil rights or black nationalists. We're all one people. We don't care whether they're from the church or whether they're from the mosque or from the temple of Amun-Ra. We're all one people. And so this will be a mass effort that we're working on in this hour. And so that's all I got to say, black man. I need to show it back to you. I love y'all and appreciate you. And black power.
Love you, too. Appreciate you. Black power. Brothers and sisters, that's been the Attorney General of Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Zulusha Baz, our Chairman Emeritus, New Black Panther Party. Y'all know him well. And boots is on the ground. Bottom line, boots is on the ground. If you're looking for this action is here. And wherever he go, follow where he go and follow the action. Wherever we go, follow where we go and follow the action. Get into the fight. Get into the fight. Thank you so much, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the Attorney General and still Attorney at War. Take another call here. The area code is 347-984. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Sean Saddam Carly. We're talking about Eric Garner. Life choked out on the streets. NYPD killing black people all over the place. What do you think we should do? What's the answer? Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I am Lord King X, Black Panther, from chapter of New York. All right. So what I think about that is it's basically genocide on our people that keep repeating itself on and on, on and on, on and on. The more they do that, we don't do nothing about it, it becomes a bad habit. So we fed up of that. Basically, I think that NYPD has declared war on New Yorkers, firstly, and on black men in a large extent. So it's a genocide against our people, and they plan to basically, now they're asking to give up our guns. They try to weaken us while they enforcing themselves, you know, or re-enforcing themselves. Yeah.
That's so right. That's right.
The way I feel really angered, you know, that bothers me, that you know, I couldn't sleep that night when I heard that thing. And I remember a text message one of my comrades, you know, Hebel, and I can't sleep. That bothers me. So I think really it's time for revolution, because we're sick and sick and sick and sick and sick of this. And we can't go along. We need a revolution. It's the only solution for our people.
That's right. That's right. That's good teaching, and we certainly agree with you, comrade. And that means that you're alive. I'm glad to hear that when a black man is choked out in the streets of New York City, I'm glad to hear that bothers you, because in 2014, that some people that don't bother. It don't bother some people that Eric Garner or our sister out in California, or Brother Devin Thomas or others, it does not bother them that these type of incidences are happening. But we're glad to hear a report that there's black people in North America that are concerned about each other and that care about each other and that feel each other's pain. That makes us feel good. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Black power.
Black power. And certainly, I want you to and you, all of you all in New York, to make sure that you're there to support the moves of Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and to make sure that you're there to support the new Black Panther Party in New York as we rally our people and take the charge and push for the charge. That's the bottom line. Is I feel like Attorney Shabazz said, man, I'm really, you know, we let the tactics at the rallies and all that. I mean, all that's good to an extent, but damn some of that Facebooking, damn some of that talking about a problem, man. I'm telling you, it's that time where either you answer the problem or you don't. Bottom line, either we're gonna answer this problem or we're not. Let me go to another call. Eric, call is 562-239. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Of course, we're talking about Brother Eric Garner, talking about political prisoners, talking about police brutality. Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power, National Chief of Staff, brother. Your brother here on the West Coast, Brother Ali. How's my brother?
Hey, brother. I'm great, Black man. How are you, sir? Black Power,
yes,
to you.
Brother. Yes, sir. And to all our black listeners, brother, and all our unity, brother. I don't know, brother. Just whenever the chairman comes on, you know, you feel hope, you know. Even yourself, brother, National Chief of Staff, when you speak in so much truth, brother, you know, hope just runs through your body like, it's okay, we're going to make it through this. But let me say this, brother. The good Alton Maddox said, we're going to have to get these people out of our system, brother. We're going to have a laxative. You know what I'm saying? He says, there is no living with these people. There's none of that. Excuse me one second, brother. There's no living with these people. There is no existence, brother. This thing with choking people out. When I was a child, they used to use it through the billy club on the throat, and they would crush your esophagus, brother. I remember the larynx, you know, and they were killing, brother. It was on a regular basis with the chokehold. Now they're back to this nonsense again. Well, it's really never stopped. But like you said, this is nothing new, brother. And simply put, brother, our unity, Elijah Muhammad, the messenger, said, brother, in 65, he said it's like an atomic weapon, but we just won't use it. When we're going to have to unify, we're going to have to step off these people. We got to start doing things for ourselves, like you said, policing ours and taking care of ours, just like all the other sensible groups in this country, especially here in California. But that was an atrocity, brother. Our prayers are to that brother's family. Right there on film, brother, right there in front of the world. Now, the world is going to see this. And, you know, it's just one of those things, another one of those things. But Collins, Dr. Collins said this, brother, and I'll never forget it. He said, when caskets start to roll in their communities, he said, then you're going to see some change. And you heard that loud and clear, brother Nazareth, Chief of Staff. He said, when caskets start to roll in their community, when they start getting choked out on fucking film, excuse my language, my blood runs hot all the time. When it starts happening to them, brother, you know what I mean? Then you're going to see change. But listen, brother, no giving up. We're going to hold it down here on the West Coast. Be glad when you come back to see us. And, brother, let me tell you something. Our programs and maneuvers, everything is going to go on. We're going to continue, like you said, black boots are on the floor. They're on the ground right now. So, brother, Nat, Chief of Staff, thank you for your time and black power.
Black power. That's the kind of report I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's the spirit that's needed in this hour for self-defense. And don't let nobody kill your spirit. You know what I'm saying? Don't let nobody kill your warrior spirit. Keep that warrior spirit, Brother Ali, West Coast regional representative out there doing his thing. West Coast love. Let me go to another call here. Eric Code is 973-277-973-277. You're on live with Black Power Radio. I'm Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm pushing for Brother Eric Gardner and all our victims of police brutality and our political prisoners. Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power. 973-277. Your mic's open. If you ready.
Yo.
Right, they. Yo, can you hear me? I'm here. Black Power. All right. They made technical differences. Bottom line is, this is the bottom line. Be prepared out there in the hells and smells of North America. Be prepared for anything out there in the hells and smells of North America. This is not a time, as I said, to be dancing a jig. This ain't the kind of time where you're just going to be able to coon and buffoon your way through the situation. You're going to have to be able to answer these crackers in the street. These crackers have been sicked on the people. And whether you say that's by God's permission or the devil's permission or whoever's permission, somebody gave permission for these crackers to be on our behinds. So what I'm saying is, in self-defense, you got to know how to repel a cockroach. You got to know how to repel evil what's best. The Quran say to all the Muslims, got to know how to repel them. Fight them. Resist the devil. The Bible saying the devil will flee. Well, then we're going to resist. I'm just telling you now, we're going to resist. If our brother was a trained brother in his shape, he could have resisted. Some have to lose their lives so others can live. So we give thanks for the life of Brother Eric Garner. And we give thanks for all of those who have been slain in this struggle and in this cause. And what I say to you is don't let their lives be in vain. Don't let Brother Eric Garner's life be in vain. Continue to patrol all black police stops. Put your cameras on them. Put your cell phones on them. Put your videos on them. NYPD is running damage control. So know the law, whether you're in New York or whether you're in California, Florida, Indianapolis, anywhere in Kentucky, wherever you at, Michigan, Ohio, Texas, don't matter. Know the law where you at. Know the law. Know that the law states that you can plainly record the police as long as you don't interfere with their work. And that the police, even if they unfairly harass you or detain you or confiscate your camera, even if you face some kind of silly arrest or catch a misdemeanor or so-called weak obstruction of justice for disorderly conduct, you will not be charged
for illegally recording the police, because it is legal to record the police. Know the law where you're at. If it's legal in your city, do it. It's legal in your city, do it. Record the police. Respond to the stuff that they say. When it comes to these police encounters, don't forget who you're dealing with. This is the police. It's the beast. It's the pig. You might get you what they call an officer friendly. You might get an officer psycho. Might get somebody in between those two extremes. But you got to be able to watch the watchman. You got to be able to think on your feet. And, in most cases, when they come up on you and ask what you're doing and all of this, even if you're at a safe distance, and they might approach you to ask you what you're doing. Don't say silly things like, I'm recording you to make sure you're doing right, or I don't trust you. You got to know how to deal with these beasts. You got to say, officer, I'm not interfering. I'm asserting my First Amendment rights. You're being documented and recorded off-site. You got to say that. Officer, I'm not interfering. I'm asserting my First Amendment rights. And you're being documented and recorded off-site. Remain calm and cool. And that'll put the pig back on their heels.